We're going to turn now to the Epistle of Romans, written by Paul in about Acts chapter 20, verse 3. And there's an underlying topic that's not... I mean, in Acts, you're going through a history of so-and-so went here and then there and taught this and did that. It's a history. But there's an underlying topic you can see come out in it, and that's Christ's second sending of Paul to us Gentiles, us alien Gentiles. And... I want to compare it a little bit. I'm going to give you some references. You might want to write them down and look at them yourself, compare them and see. It jumps out at you when you actually see it in the scripture. But we're comparing the important section that in several places refers to Christ's second sending without naming it that or anything. His second sending of Paul, and it confirms it. It confirms it for those that are not sure, you know, about how that could be. It makes everything fit together perfectly. And we're going to compare those scriptures with other scriptures that show the same thing. And Paul wrote Romans at about the time of Acts 20, like we said, and those events in Acts 20 were taking place at the time he wrote Romans. And the events of Acts 20, verse 6, is what Paul referred to in... Here's another one. I'm going to give you a bunch of references here now without reading them because we want to get the flow of it. The events in Acts 20, verse 6, is what Paul referred to in Philippians 4, 15, and 16. And the time of the events in Acts 20, 1 through 7, chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, is also the time that Paul wrote the epistle that we call 2 Corinthians. So there's three that talk about the same thing, in an underlying way, not directly. It's not the subject they're carrying, they're talking about. The events that you find in Acts 20 are parallel to Romans 15, verses 14 to 32. And the events you find in Acts 20 are parallel to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 to 17. And we'll study them in parallel and find the parallels by which to confirm or deny each other, the other references. And they will show the truthfulness and trustworthiness of the scripture. Throughout most of Israel's history, God made a way that any Gentile could come to God. And there were some Gentiles that did come to God through Israel by claiming a promise of God. That promise is in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. And there were other Gentiles called aliens that did not claim that promise in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And they're described as dead in Romans 8, verse 10, and in Ephesians 2, verse 5. And they're described as being alienated from the life of God in Ephesians 4, 18. They're described as being alien and far off in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 17. They're described as being other Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind. That's in Ephesians 4:17. And they're described as God gave them up. And that's in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, actually leading into that 20, 21 or so through, you know, 24 is a summary, a brief summary, and then verse 26, another summary. 28, it's a real plain discussion of how lost the average person is, being alienated from the life of God as we come into the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through about chapter 2, verse 16 describes the position and the status of alienated Gentiles who did not choose to claim the promise in Genesis 12:3 while it was available before Israel fell. Let's look at some of those verses. Romans, we're going to start with verse 18, Romans 1:18, and then go to chapter 1, still in 1, verse 21. So chapter Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 24, skipping to 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Going down to verse 26 and then verse 28. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Well, at the time Saul of Tarsus was saved, that was the alien position and status of all the Gentiles that did not claim God's covenant promise in Genesis 12:3, that I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Regarding Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, according to Ephesians 1:15, previously, these were alien Ephesians, alien Gentiles from Ephesus, that Paul had not yet met, but when they heard and believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, the resurrected Messiah, and then after that news, I should say necessary news, they didn't have any idea that there was a Jesus or that there was a Messiah coming to rule the world, the earth, or that anybody had resurrected. They know that's Jesus now, and then Paul preached to them, and I shouldn't say Paul preached it, they heard it. By word of mouth, Paul had talked to these elders from Ephesus and down in Miletus in Acts 20, and apparently some of them went back and talked to some of these alien Gentiles now that it was okay. In fact, now that Paul was sent to them. And so when they heard and believed the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ about how Christ died for their sins and they're saved by believing that, Well, Ephesians 1:15, let me just read it. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So the Ephesians to whom Paul wrote were not the Ephesians that were in the church that Paul started in earlier times in Ephesus. They weren't there when he was there anyway. They might have been included in that church or in a different church in Ephesus. I don't know. Paul only knew about their faith from having heard of their faith, it says, as it says in the verse there, after I heard of your faith. He had not met those Ephesians to whom he wrote the epistle that we enjoy so much, Ephesians. So let's look at some of the verses. Ephesians 2. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, that's our problem that we're born with. We're dead in sins and trespasses. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Christ came back to life, to a new life. We have a new life in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The verse goes on to say, it's by grace you are saved. Chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in past time Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Well, you can see in that verse the two conditions of Gentiles, some that claimed that covenant promise that I will bless them that bless Israel, and some that refused to. They thought they were good enough. They were very religious, a lot of them. Some were just scoundrels. Ephesians 2:13, but now, I love those but nows. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. That's the opposite there, isn't it? Far off and nigh. Who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Going down to verse 17, Ephesians 2:17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. In Christ there's, you know, no Jew and no Gentile. Colossians adds that there's no barbarian or Scythian. Those are the alien Gentiles. They're not alien once they're saved, once they're in Christ, in the body of Christ. Those alien Gentiles were not like the God-fearing Gentiles that were the beneficiaries of the covenants of promise because they had blessed Israel. And we'll see in a few minutes. Those aliens were without Christ. They were without Christ. They weren't complying with God's exception that he made, that they could come to God through Israel before Israel fell. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, they were strangers from the covenants of promise, not in the promises, not in them. They had no hope. They were without God in the world. We'll look at the promise, that covenant that God made with Abram, that was used by God-fearing, promise-claiming Gentiles, often called Greeks in the King James Bible. And it's in Genesis 12, 1-3. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. So often we forget that separating from, and then being separated to something. But he says, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's what Robert Cook ends his radio program with, walk with the king and be a blessing. But that's a promise of God right there, isn't it? You know, he said, I will make of thee, I will bless thee, I will make thy name great. It's gonna happen because God will make it happen. It's God promising it. And verse 3 is a crucial verse. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, Abram. And it's extended to his seed then, too, that follow after him. When he says, I will bless them that bless thee, the word thee there was God-fearing, promise-claiming Gentiles, like the Greeks. Greeks mainly are in the scripture between Acts 13 and Acts 19. That's basically during the period that the prophets, God revealed to the prophets, Habakkuk 1:5, the work. It's called the work. It's also, you know, from God's answer to that work that they would not believe. Was Paul, that he was sent not in his mystery capacity, but to answer that prophecy that I will work a work among you that you will not believe. During that period, it's also called a dispensation of the gospel. So thee, I will curse him that curseth thee, is also thee would be, let's see, I will bless them. So I should have said them. The them that are being blessed for blessing Israel would be the God-fearing, promise-claiming Gentiles, called Greeks, often, not always. Cornelius was not named as a Greek, but he was described as one. In Acts 13, in Antioch of Pisidia, they're described as Greeks, but not in verse 26 and verse 46, but they're not named as that. I will curse him that curseth thee. Him was apostate Israel, crucifying their Messiah, Jesus Christ. They cursed the seed of Abraham. The Jews, the high priest there in Acts 7, confirmed it, and they lost their last chance during the acceptable year of the Lord. They rebelled, continued their rebellion, and confirmed themselves in it. So that brings in those that are not the seed of Abraham, those that are Gentiles. It brings them into the picture. If they wanted to be blessed by God, they had to bless Israel before Israel fell. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee. That's a promise. Now let's look at Genesis 13, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. He has yet to give it, because they don't have all of that land yet. That land goes from the Nile to the Euphrates and up into Lebanon. I think it goes part way or up to the border of Turkey there now. What's Turkey now? Next verse, we'll go to Genesis 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, this is before Isaac was born. He goes on to say, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So that brings in all of Israel afterwards, after Abram and Isaac, after that covenant with Isaac that was extended to Isaac. Some of the knowledge-seeking Greeks blessed the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by coming to the synagogues to find God in the scriptures that were kept in the synagogues. Not only were the apostate Jews in the synagogue and running the synagogue, there were the scriptures, the word of God in the synagogues. Those Greeks, blessed by God for blessing Israel. And one way they blessed Israel was their presence in the synagogues, coming to the synagogue meetings, showing their fear of God, and bringing their tithes to bless Israel. At that time, the time that Christ sent out Paul, the Greeks in the synagogues were blessed by hearing Paul's message, hearing Paul come to the synagogue and preach the gospel of God. And those that believed the gospel of God, they got to hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, how to be saved. The ones that didn't believe the gospel of God, Paul left them in the synagogue. So they were coming, the Gentiles were coming for years before that, probably for centuries before that, God used those which are not a people. That would be the Gentiles. God used them. Look at, and here's a short list of verses, three verses that include that. Exodus 12:38. And then there's Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, and Romans 10:19. For centuries, they were coming. The Gentiles were coming to God through Israel, and it was to provoke Israel to jealousy. Those Gentiles that provoked Israel to jealousy were prophesied. That was part of prophecy. That's not a mystery. They were to provoke Israel to jealousy and to draw out a prophetic remnant. That remnant is mentioned in, or talked about anyway, in Deuteronomy 32:21 and in Luke 12:32, a familiar verse. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock. It's I forget the exact wording. It's the Father's goodwill to give you to present you with to give you the kingdom that had been taken away from apostate Israel, and it says given to a nation, so that little flock of believing Israel, the remnant that did believe, they're called a nation. That that is now, or not now, but during the Acts period, they were the church of God, the believing Israelite churches that were scattered from the church in Jerusalem, church of God in Jerusalem that Paul persecuted. So, not only were those Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy and draw out a prophetic remnant, they were to draw out also a grace remnant. Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. But at the time of Paul, that was the blessing they received. They blessed Israel, and they received the blessing from God by getting to hear Paul preach to them the gospel of God, and then the gospel of Christ about how to be saved as the grace remnant. Grace remnant. Remnant according to the choice of grace. Choosing that gospel. Being called by God. God knowing ahead of time who would believe and calling them by the gospel. And as we'll see, Paul preached a different message of salvation than Israel's salvation. It wasn't the same as that kingdom gospel that you see through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Although it's by the cross, it's by the blood of Christ, but there's different requirements. Faith only. You can't pollute the gospel that Christ gave to Paul for us. You can't pollute it with our own works. Works are required for Israel. I mean, they argue about whether they're required or not. It depends on what you mean by required. If you read James 2:24, it's pretty plain that a man in Israel, in Israel's doctrine and covenants, was justified by works, not by faith only. So there is some place there for an understanding that Israel did have to do the law. That's why he gave it. If you don't think so, ask the man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath what he thinks if it's necessary to obey the law. He was on the outside of the wall in the desert with nobody to give him food or protection from wild animals. But going on, with that understanding, let's now start with Romans 15, verse 14 in our Romans study. And I myself also am persuaded of you. That's Paul talking to those in Rome. I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Well, what had Paul been doing when he'd go through Galatia, through Greece and Macedonia? He was admonishing them, exhorting them, preaching to them the gospel and the righteousness of God that they are imputed once they believe the gospel. And he's saying that you're able to do that now. So why would they need to? At this point, toward the end of Romans, Paul has given them the doctrine. And he's telling them that they are full. They are filled with all knowledge. Let me read that verse again. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. It means that they have received all that Paul was sent to teach them. Paul doesn't have to go back and build them to maturity. This epistle transferred all the counsel of God to them. All that Paul was to preach up to that time, up to the time of the writing of Romans, his Romans epistle in Acts 20. It was complete. He had done his job. Just like, well, I don't want to cloud it. But the point is that having Paul's epistle, the Romans are now ready, those Roman citizens or believers are now ready to edify one another, including to admonish one another, giving scripture-based godly warnings for direction. The Roman epistle is the summary of all that Christ revealed to Paul for teaching up to that time, which is later information than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Acts chapters 1 through 19. Paul wrote in Acts 20 and gave later information. Well, I'm done for tonight, and except for answering any questions. This is the time.